Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Thomas Henry. I haven't been on for the past couple of days. I've been away from my home state of Georgia. I've been in Arkansas for the past few days and enjoying some time of rest and relaxation, preparing also to do a renewal wedding vows for one of the members, some members of the Apostolic Communion of Churches. And while I'm here, I want to just try to pick up real quickly from where I left off at on my last broadcast, because as I re-listened to the broadcast, I realized that even though it said I recorded to a certain time, part of my broadcast got cut off. And so when I left off at the last particular broadcast, we was talking about how that 85 to 95% of the Roman Catholic bishops today cannot even trace their hands all the way back to the apostles. Matter of fact, they can trace chair, but they cannot trace the hand. But yet and still, on this video that was done with Lexi and those bishops, they expressed emphatically that they could trace their hands, specifically their right hand, back to Jesus and the apostles. And the unique thing about that is that when if you was to go and visit any Roman Catholic church, and I challenge you this, go and visit any Orthodox church, and I challenge you that too, you would see two hands laid on them and not one hand. And not only that, but going back to the Rebiba point, is that before a certain period of time, they didn't keep records like we keep them today. They didn't give out certificates like we give out today. And there was not a major paper trail. A lot of things was done at a certain period of time was by word of mouth, unless you was in those particular courts and places where they held meeting and they had historians that recorded the court sessions. And so here they specifically said in this particular broadcast that they could trace their right hand back to Jesus and his apostles, that the anointing is in the right hand. Now, the unique thing about that is that there's no proof that before Anglicanism, there's no proof that ordination was only done by the right hand. There's, again, no proof ordination was done just using the right hand. There's proof, though, that they anointed both hands, they anointed people's heads, and they laid both hands on the person. Matter of fact, they not only laid both hands on the person, but in the old Roman Catholic Church, they had gloves on when they laid hands on their head. And most of the time in the Roman Catholic Church, you don't even read the words over the person while you're laying hands. You lay hands first, and then you pray. And so, like I said, there was a lot of misinformation and a lot of things that were put out in this particular video that speaks volumes to whether or not we have been taught correctly about what makes bishop legitimate and what makes bishop illegitimate. Another thing that was brought up inside this particular Lexi video was the idea that some preachers in that particular organization start off as overseers, and that, you know, then they have to be a bishop. And if you attach, I understand that even Jesus in his day paid his temple tax that he was obligated to pay as a Jew. All Jewish males was obligated to pay their temple tax to maintain the temple, to maintain his work. Every Jew was obligated to pay their tithes. The tithe wasn't just 10%. The tithe was actually, the total tithe was about 23%. And it covered not only what you gave to the Levites and what the portion of Levites gave to the priest, but the tithe also went to take care of the seven Jewish festivals. And then there was a tithe that took care of the poor, the widows, the orphans, and those poor Levitical Levites and priests. And so then, that the total tithe that Israel was commanded by God to give was a total of 23%. And so, with that being said, the bishopric, they said it was a cost to it and a monthly cost to it. And so, you know, which is in some of these organizations, to maintain the organization, they charge the lower-level clergy a certain amount. They charge the next-level clergy a certain amount, and the next-level clergy, We have to be careful with stuff like that because if we're not careful, it becomes simonistic. That we, if we are ordaining people just so that our organization and top tier can be supported with the financial offerings that they give on a monthly basis, we almost are ordaining them so that we can make money. And that should not be the case. There's a difference between you tithing to your leaders and supporting your church and you ordaining people just so that you can make money in your organization. Because if you look at most of these organizations that are top heavy, the reason why they got so many bishops is because they're ordaining bishops. They're commissioning overseers, appointing overseers, so that they can take care of their bottom line at the national organization. And none of them are doing anything on the level of missionary and evangelistic work. None of them are doing anything in their organization to help establish other churches. And those that do have programs, they're so menial that they don't really do anything. I remember I was part of a major denomination. And my church was a small church, and they appointed me to that church. Three members in the church when I get appointed to this church. And I'm given, for the pastor's due, $350 a month. $350 a year for the credentials, not counting what I was asked to give to the bishops twice a year, what I was asked twice a year when the district missionary came around collecting for the national church and for the district church and everything else. And so there are a lot of times these people are collecting these monies, and I don't have a problem with people raising money to support their organization. But then what are we doing? None of these people are investing back into souls. None of these people are investing back into the kingdom. And yet we have produced something that has become simony redefined. It costs to be a bishop in our organization. You have certain monthly obligations. So if that be the case, so are you licensing and are you rebranding or redefining simony so that you can support yourself? So I ordain you so you can pay me a monthly fee to maintain your ordination with us. Now don't get me wrong, every organization has to be funded. Every organization has to be supported. But we are making thousands of bishops. We have made the Church of God into a bishops-making machine. Everybody talking about we got to fix the problem, but nobody want to address how the problem started or who the problem began with. And I think this particular video that Lexi did on our show is very telling. It's very telling because one of the bishops stated on this particular program that the bishopric is attached to success in ministry. And you can't show me nowhere in the Bible. And then one of the bishops says that your work comes before the office. Now, undoubtedly, he does not know the Greek, and he does not even know how to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, because it says, if a man desire or reach for the office of bishop, he desires to do a good work. It didn't say the work preceded him. He's only reaching for the office because the Bible says he's first. The office came after him because the first desire, that means you reach for it because it has reached for you. Paul said it like this in Philippians. Something has gotten a hold of me, and now I'm trying to get a hold of that has gotten a hold of me. And so that first desire in there, that desire means to reach for because you've been beckoned to it. You've been called to it. The second desire means that you literally, you got to, because you have been called to it, now there has been an innate desire in you to do the work. You can't. The work does not precede the call. How many times have you ever saw a tree produce fruit that has not been planted in the ground? But yet they said on this program, work comes before the office, and that's not historically right, and that's not even biblically right. And then one of the bishops on this particular program said the bishopric was this bishopric. Historically, he said the bishopric was attaching to have attached to having a doctor of ministry degree. If you know anything about post-terminal degree and honorary degrees in Europe, especially in the UK and certain parts of Europe, the doctor of ministry degree is not a terminal degree. The doctor of ministry degree is an honorary degree. Now, if you read the canon law for the Roman Catholic Church, it will tell you that in the canon that deal with the bishopric under the particular church, it says these words, is that a bishop should have a minimum of a licentiate in canon law or sacred theology. It didn't make it as though it's but it also says, or other sacred disciplines. With a licentiate is equivalent to a master's degree. It is a degree. Both degrees on sacred theology and canon law are degrees that are not accredited by any accreditation body in the United States. That degree is only accredited by the Vatican, the Holy See, the Roman Catholic Church in Rome. And so with that being said, how in the world did a sacred degree become equal to a doctor of ministry's degree? Somebody don't know what they're talking about. Somebody does not know talking about. Historically, the bishopric was connected to having to work first. That's like saying you can't be president of the United States unless you first become president, unless you have proven that you can be president of the United States by being president of the United States. None of our presidents was president of the United States before they became presidents of the United States. But yet and still, you know, the main requirements are in 1 Timothy 3. A bishop should be mature. That's why he's called an elder. Mature. Well, we got a lot of immature people running around here trying to be bishops. We got a lot of people who have this slave mentality trying to be bishops. We have a lot of people who have messed up theology trying to be bishops. They have enough theology about the ancient church just to be dangerous, but they have none whatsoever that qualify them to even teach on the subject they claim to be scholars about. But yet and still, they are on programs like this saying, this is what it takes. I challenge anybody. While I'm doing this broadcast right now, I challenge anybody to show me among any Baptist church at any time where it since the Reformation that Baptists said that in order to be legitimate, you need apostolic succession. You can't show me that. You can only show me that in the past 40 years, but you can't show me that because legitimacy was not in ministry, was never attached, not to any Protestant, because the problem is that, like I've said on the first program, we have reinterpreted apostolic succession and legitimacy to be something that was foreign to the Reformation. And for you even to say that now I seek this, and you got people right now today that won't even invite you to their churches if you don't have a document that says that you got succession. John Wesley never claimed to have apostolic succession to be able to even give it to his bishops. The Methodist movement never claimed to have apostolic succession. I challenge you. There are a few Methodist boys out there, they just trying to do this little tracing job. But most of you don't even realize what you're attaching your name to, what you're attaching your anointing to. But you claim you got historic, you got something, but you ain't got what, you do not have what you say you have. Your legitimacy is not attached to some bishop who 40 years ago, a group of bishops who decided to alter their Pentecostal doctrine. Because, see, what you got to realize, and if you've been paying any attention to any of my programs, apostolic succession is attached to Salvific theology. I'll say that one more time. Apostolic succession is attached to Salvific theology. What you mean, Henry? I'm glad you asked. Remember I said on the last program, you have two schools of thought. You have Augustinian and you have Cyprian. The idea was that there's only salvation in the church. No salvation outside of the church. So in order to determine who the church is, one group says that the church is the church, and the church validates the office. The other group says that in order to be the church, you must have valid ordination first. And then so you have the Orthodox who take a middle ground between both the Cyprian and the Augustinian. You need to be the church. You need to be in the church. And then if you're in the church, you must have orders that are given by those who are part of the church. The Roman Catholic Church allows for you to be either in the church and then dispensing holy orders, or you can, if you have valid orders and doing what the church do, you can be in an imperfect connection outside of the church. But see, the thing about it is that we have been teaching people, not me, but I said we, meaning bishops in general, in the past 40 years have been teaching people that apostolic succession and legitimacy is all about tracing your hands back to Peter. And I promise you, look at your succession documents. I can pull mine out. Look them out. Look at them. And you can find where they trace hands to a certain point. Then at a certain point, it stops tracing the hand, and they start tracing the seat. There's no one can say up to a certain point they have traced their hands, Peter. I said in the last broadcast, Peter did not ordain the quote-unquote second bishop of Rome, Linus. Paul ordained Linus. Peter ordained this third bishop of the supposed third bishop of Rome, which is Clemens. Paul addressed both Linus and Clemens in Romans chapter 16. So then, who then are you tracing your succession to? Are you tracing it to Peter or are you tracing it to Paul? Because you don't know who ordained the fourth man. You don't know who ordained the fifth man. You don't know who ordained the sixth man that sat on the Roman throne. But yet it's still. Then, not only that, you have to realize Clement, and if Linus was indeed the second bishop behind Peter, Linus, you have to realize that the bishopric in Rome was not a monarchical episcopacy at first. Yeah, I know, your boys ain't teach all that. They didn't give you that kind of history. See, that's why I've been harping lately about this thing called original intent. So, because, see, what happens when you really read history and you read it objectively, you will find some of this stuff that majority of this stuff, I said a good 75 to 80% of the stuff you've been taught about apostolic succession and legitimacy have not been history, because you have to actually alter some things to doctor history up to make some of the stuff that's been taught agree with what's being taught. And one of the reasons, like I mentioned apostolic curia on the last program, one of the reasons why Anglicans today are still saying in the face of Rome, we have valid orders. They have actually got old Catholics to join in consecrating them so that, quote-unquote, they can have sacrificing priests, as Rome was saying. But some of y'all that are claiming to be Pentecostal, that are hollering that I got apostolic succession, do you believe that your elders are sacrificing priests? I mean, do you believe that you are sacrificing Jesus again in an unbloody manner on your altars in your church? Do you attach that one cannot have salvation unless they are eating the Eucharist? Talk to me here, because I know what you've been taught, but I know what the legitimate teaching about apostolic succession is. But you're saying, I'm trying to get legitimacy. So you're saying Mason didn't have legitimacy when he started his movement? Are you trying to say Mama Tate didn't have it when she started the Church of the Living God, Pilgrim of Truth? Are you saying that Reverend Hayward, who became eventually Bishop Hayward when he introduced the bishopric in the PAW, he wasn't legitimate? I can't remember the bishop that preceded the late bishop. I think his name was Bruno from the Cool JC, who was before him that started Cool JC. Was he not legitimate? He didn't have apostolic succession. Matter of fact, Mason ordained a bunch of people, and Mason did not have historic apostolic succession. So are you saying all these boys are not legitimate? See, you got to be careful when folks start selling you a bill of goods that can't be validated by real history. What is happening today, and like I said in my last program, there is a synthesis going on here, that people are trying to whitewash the differences between Roman Catholicism. Matter of fact, some of those that even preach about apostolic succession have organization in the church to actually help Roman Catholics acclimate themselves to Baptist Protestant theology. So how are you going to claim to have succession from Rome, but your theology does not back up what you say you have? You cannot have legitimate apostolic succession from a church you claim an apostolic succession from when 80 to 90% of your doctrine does not agree with what they say. You don't even have sacramental theology. You don't even believe that Jesus is being re-sacrificed on that altar in an unbloody manner, that Calvary is being made present at that moment, that communion is not a looking back at Calvary. Communion is Calvary. But you say, I got apostolic succession from the Roman Catholic Church. I got Eastern and I got Western streams. But you calling everybody else illegitimate when in actuality you're invalidating yourself by the very same teaching that you claim to be upholding, because you do not have historic apostolic succession. You do not have biblical succession. So we have literally thrown the Bible out and brought in other teaching that are foreign to Scripture. Yes, everybody should have somebody that the church should be the one ordaining you. Somebody in the church that has been ordained should be the one. You shouldn't go out there and set yourself up. And that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about going out there setting yourself up to be a bishop on and on without somebody to validate, because Paul was called to be a prophet first. And when God knocked him off that horse and he went to that city, that prophet, I think it was Ananias, came to him and laid hands on him, healed him of his blindness, and sent him out as a prophet. Then later on, he went to Jerusalem to get validated. After Ananias commissioned him, he went out to Jerusalem. Read your Bible. I'm in the book. And then before he went out as a prophet, as an apostle, he and Barnabas was part of the bishopric of Antioch. Those teachers, teaching prophets, those bishop prophets that was in Antioch. The Bible says it was 5 prophet bishop prophetes, Kai Didaskalos. That these 5 men were both prophets and both teachers. The word teacher means they were the bishops. They were the pastors of the church at Antioch. These 5 men. And the Holy Ghost said, while they was in the midst of their liturgion, the liturgy, the worship, he said to them, separate 2 of these men for the work of the ministry that I have called them to. And in Acts chapter 14, we realize that they was ordained by those 5 prophet bishops to be apostles in the Lord's church. And another issue, and we have to bring this up on another broadcast, is that there is not one word in the Greek for ordination. There are several different words in the Greek for ordination. And sometimes people get a little stuck on that and say, well, he didn't say lay on hands, it said set apart. Where it said set apart, where it said lay on hand, where it said anoint, where it said ordain, establish, all of that the same. More than one word said the same thing. So, we got people who are saying that folks are illegitimate. And they themselves, if they were to go to that Roman church, I challenge you, every one of you who claim I got legitimate apostolic succession, go to the Roman Catholic Church. Go to your local Roman Catholic parish and ask that priest, can you celebrate the Eucharist with him? If he's faithful to Catholic doctrine, he'll say, where's your celebrate? Oh, I'm sorry, y'all didn't know nothing about that. It's a document called a celebrate, where the celebrate gets from his bishop, so that he has been validly ordained by his bishop. Do you have one? Do you have permission? Are you in communion with Rome? Can you actually concelebrate the sacrament with those priests? You claiming Eastern stream from Orthodoxy. Do Orthodoxy even recognize you as a church? I think not, because if you try to join them, they will tell you that you will have to come and get re-Christmated, which means be filled with the Holy Ghost again, by the laying on hands, to say you weren't even part of the church in the first beginning. And then they will tell you that you're more than likely, they'll see if there's any value to your ministry. You won't become a bishop because you're married. They might make you an archpriest if you believe enough of the faith. But you got to be ordained a deacon first, and then a priest, and then an archpriest. But you claim you got legitimacy and valid succession from Rome. Do Rome even recognize you? Because kissing the ring don't mean they recognize you. Because Rome called you bishop does not mean they recognize you. Because they accord you respect when you go to the Vatican City does not mean they recognize you. Rome gives you what they call episcopal courtesy, which means that if you come to Rome and you tell them, I'm Bishop so-and-so, they will extend their hand and say, hello, Bishop so-and-so, how you doing? That does not mean Rome recognizes your orders. That does not mean that Rome sanctioned you, that Rome gave you any power, Rome gave you any authority. Mm-hmm. And watch this. I don't care what anybody tell you. Rome does not list in its archives bishops that are consecrated by other non-Roman Catholic churches. In their annals, in their official Vatican publication, the one that when the Pope has written a decree, a cyclo, or whatever, when a Pope has commissioned a new bishop to be appointed and to be ordained, every one of his acts are officially published in an official Vatican publication. I challenge you to go find your name in that official Vatican publication saying that the Pope sanctioned your ordination, because if he ain't sanctioned your ordination, he don't recognize you. Now, he does recognize Orthodoxy, because Orthodoxy is considered to be an ancient church. But he don't recognize you, Protestant, Pentecostal, Apostolic, Baptist, Bishop. But you say, I got succession. You got something, but it ain't succession. You paid money for something that wasn't even worth the paper that is put on. Scripturally, what makes one legitimate? You know what? You want to know what makes one legitimate? That's being recognized by others' ministries and other churches. You know, I like the way the Baptists used to do it back in the days. That when a Baptist was getting ready to ordain clergy, they called an ordination council from the other churches, and those churches joined together in an ordination council to ordain that brother as a reverend, as a pastor in the church. Or if you are part of a communion, it's that communion. If you're part of a synod of bishops, it is the synod of bishops that adds legitimacy to what you have. The reason why Roman Catholic clergy are legitimate are because they are in communion with Rome. The reason why every Orthodox church is considered to be a canonical Orthodox church, because they are in communion and have been sanctioned by their ecumenical patriarch. Who sanctioned you? That's the question. Did you sin yourself? Or did somebody else sin you? Any apostle that claimed they sent themselves, apart from what is seen in the Bible, because no apostle sent themselves, no apostle jumped up and said, well, God called me and I went, because that's not the biblical model. The biblical model is that you are called, the church recognizes the call. The Holy Spirit reveals the call to the church, and the church lays hands on you and anoints you. I don't have time to really finish this, because we got people who have been reconsecrated just to get succession. And you know what you just did? You just invalidated your first ordination. Well, bless his name. You just invalidated. Yes, they didn't teach you that, because if you're going to go by canon law, read canon law. You have just invalidated your first ordination. Your first ordination. I don't have enough time to really get into more details on this. And I pray that something was said today that was inspirational, encouraging, and to help you understand. Because, see, this is what it's about. It's about knowing the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know shall make you free. If you pay for something, and you don't believe the doctrines of the church that you claim you got secession from, you need to go ask for a refund. A refund. Glory be to God. Well, I'm Bishop Thomas Henry. I'm out of time. You ought to come to the Congress this year, where we give you objective biblical truth to help you in your ministry, to show you where true success lies, true legitimacy lies. We don't go back to Rome. We don't go to Orthodoxy. We go back to Jerusalem. God bless you. Have a great day.